Well, welcome again to church this morning. I'm really glad that you're here. You've been welcomed by Brady and our worship team. For those who may not know me, my name is Ben, and I serve as the campus pastor here at our Willowbrook campus. If you are new to Jesus, or if you are new here today, just kind of checking out our church for the first time, we are really glad that you're here. Thank you for coming, and we hope that you feel welcome, but also that you get connected here, that you can make some real friendships and relationships here at church. This fall, as we're launching this new campus of North Langley Church, we're going through the four core values that we hold as a church. It's kind of our spiritual DNA that gives us our identity. And the theme that runs through all of these values is that we are apprentices to Jesus, that we're following the Master, that we're walking in His footsteps, and we're becoming more like Him. And we're responding to an invitation that He has for each one of us here. Come, follow me. I will make you fishers of people. So far, we've looked at our first three values: on our knees, living the gospel, and with shared lives. And we'll close in our next 2 weeks with generous love. Last week, we talked about community and that hunger for community that all people have. We talked about the distinctives of Christian community, the learning from God's word, dedication to prayer, fellowship with other believers, and the Lord's Supper. And today is part two of shared lives. So how do we live out this call to follow Jesus, not just as individuals, but actually together as a community? What does that look like? One of the challenges that any community, any group faces, right, is how do you keep unity in the face of so much diversity? When you're all different, when we're all different, what keeps us together? Sports teams deal with this, right, all the time. You've got a player who's making millions. You've got someone who always sits on the bench and never gets to play. You have the water boy on the sidelines. Like, how do you make sure that they all feel like they're part of the same thing, the same goal? Or in our nation here, right, I feel like there's an ongoing conversation about what it means to be Canadian. Entire provinces sometimes threaten to go their own way. At times, right, this conversation becomes polarized and heated even. We've got this whole mix of different cultures, of immigrants, of settlers and indigenous peoples. So who gets to define what is Canadian? Now, don't worry, I'm not going to try to answer that for you. I'm an American here, and I think one thing almost all Canadians can agree on today is that Canadian means not American. Or to change the metaphor here, I've got a little Lego car here. If you're wondering, Ben, is that your Lego car? No, it's my daughter's. It's made of several, probably a dozen different pieces. Together, though, all these pieces make up one car. If I start to take off some of the pieces, like this roof here, or wheels, or a pink block, or a light, it's no longer the same car. Right? I've changed the car. If I take it all apart, I just have a pile of pieces. I've got a pile of pieces that make up the car, but not the car. So all the different parts are necessary to make up the one Lego car. You need the many to make the one. Now, one of the key images that the Bible uses, actually, to describe Christian community is the body. So I'd love to invite my friends Caleb and Shreya Wolf up, and they're going to read our passage for today. It's a longer passage, but I hope it helps give you some context for this image that we're going to be talking about. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 31. I invite you to follow along in your Bibles or on the screen if you like.
Yeah, good morning, Willowbrook. Here is the word of the Lord. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many.
Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body.
The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts needs no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it.
Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? How now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Shreya and Caleb, for reading God's word for us this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us today through your word. We pray that by your spirit, you would open up our hearts, our minds, our lives, to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we were going through that reading, you didn't know you were getting an anatomy lesson today in church, did you? Well, this analogy of a body, right, it was actually a common one in Paul's time when Paul was writing this letter to the church in Corinth. And the ancient Greeks and the Romans often used it as an analogy for civic society, for it was kind of a political image. And they used it to describe the different functions and hierarchies within society. Some members, it was understood, were more important than others. There was a definite social stratification. At the very top of Roman society was the Caesar, right? He was hailed as Lord and even worshipped as a god. And at the bottom were the masses of slaves and of workers who did all the work for the empire. Now, Paul takes this image of a body and he redefines it for the church, for Christians. He says, there is one body and there's one Lord, but that Lord is Jesus, the true Son of God, who came to be a servant and give his life as a ransom for many. He is the head of the body. There's one body, but there are many parts to this body, says Paul. And every part is equally valuable and important, right? Every person has a part to play in the body. This is a very organic, physical image that Paul is using. An eye, an ear, a hand, or a foot, they can't exist on their own. And without them, the body is not complete. Willowbrook, as you think about your place in this community, in this body, I hope you know that you are important, that you are an essential part of the body. You matter. Without you, without each one of you here, this particular expression of the body of Christ would not be the same. Now, our Willowbrook campus here is a diverse community, which I'm super thankful for. But how do we keep our unity in the midst of that diversity? What unites us? If you're tempted to shout out the classic Sunday school answer, Jesus, you are right, absolutely right. It is Jesus who unites us here as a campus, as a church. The theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his classic book, Life Together, he puts it this way. Christian community means community through Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ. There's no other foundation, no other unifying principle, nothing else that can unite us as Christians apart from Jesus. Or as Paul puts it in this passage from 1 Corinthians, which we just read, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. And at the end of that chapter, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. There's one body of Christ, and we're part of it. At Willowbrook, our vision is to be a multi-generational, multicultural, and missional church that's reaching our neighborhood with the life-changing power of Jesus. Now, in those three M words, there's lots of room for diversity, right? Which means lots of opportunities, but challenges as well. As I go through these three words here, think about the many different parts of the body that make up the body of Christ here at Willowbrook. Each part is important and helps to make up the body. Each one of you in your uniqueness, your giftings, your story makes up the body here. Let's start with multi-generational. I was struck this morning by how many babies are in our church. We have babies that are, I think, less than a week old here this morning. We have a whole baby section over there. Our nursery is like jam-packed with toddlers and babies and parents. This is wonderful, right? We're so excited for the new life in our church here. And we have seniors as well in our church here, people in their 80s and 90s, and every stage of life in between. And being multi-generational is a huge blessing, right? You get to rub shoulders, be together with people of a different stage of life, learn from them. We need the exuberance of our youth and their energy running around here, and the kids who love to run around here, and we need the wisdom and the faithfulness of our seniors. Sometimes this mix of generations is going to be challenging, right? Right now our youth they're probably listening to a video or something like that. They're very quiet, but once they start playing a game, we will hear them up above us in the youth room there. And that's part of being a multi-generational church. I love seeing our families serving together. James and Sarah mentioned that was one of the things that they love doing, right? Serving in kids ministry together. Last week, we had our first Neighborhood Impact Day, and we had a broad spectrum of people serving. We had families with young kids, we had seniors, we had young adults, and we had what I'll call regular adults. There's a picture of our whole team gathered together there. One particular family, the Hauser family, they were there with their kids and grandma, all together serving, picking up trash together. Just a lot of fun, I think, that they had. The kids had a lot of fun picking up trash there, and that our whole team had. So we're multi-generational as a church, but we're one body in Christ. Multicultural. Friends, if you haven't met some of these people yet, that's okay, but we are a diverse group of cultures and languages and nationalities here at Willowbrook. As I've been trying to get to know people here at our campus, I've met people from so many different countries around the world, from Brazil, from Mexico, from El Salvador, from Rwanda, from Egypt, from Kenya, from Nigeria, from Korea, from China, from the Philippines, Taiwan, and of course, lots of Canadians with different backgrounds as well. There's so much to celebrate in this diversity that we have here. I'm looking forward to our potluck next week. Potlucks, I feel like, are such a great way to express your culture through the foods that you might bring. So I'm excited to see what kinds of foods we'll have here next week. Each culture brings a unique perspective to our community, though, right? It's not just about some fun foods that a culture might have. You have a unique perspective that is different from mine. Your understanding of who God is, of how culture works. I can learn from you, and that's good, because we're all part of the same body here. Sometimes with these different cultures, there can be tensions too, right? There's different expectations of what church looks like, how we worship, what a pastor's role is. And those things can sometimes lead to hurt or frustration, misunderstanding. So there are things that we need to grapple with together as a community, right? How do we truly embody this multicultural body of Christ with lots of grace for each other? And we have to keep coming back to the source of our unity. We're one body in and through Jesus Christ. We worship the one true living God. We've been baptized into one Spirit. Friends, we have diversity in our church backgrounds here as well. Now, maybe that's not something that you typically think of like as a diverse thing, but we have diversity here in terms of our church backgrounds. We have people here who were part of Jericho Ridge Church. We have people from different campuses of North Langley who have joined us. And we have people from other churches or maybe no church background at all. And you're joining this community here. You have different expectations and experiences of church. Being part of a church merger is not simple or easy. Those of you who were part of Jericho before, you may be grieving certain things that you miss, kind of a tight-knit community, knowing everyone that's here, even at the same time as you're celebrating what God is doing, and you're thankful for that, and you're holding those two things together at the same time. Things are different, and sometimes that can be hard. And I just want to say again that I've felt so much grace and understanding from those of you who've been part of Jericho and your support. And that's meant a lot to me. I'm grateful for that. I know that this merger process has not been easy. And so I just want to commend you for the courage in taking a chance, stepping out in faith to be part of a new community. We're one body, different parts. Wherever we've come from in terms of our church or our faith background, our unity is in Christ. The last M there, three M's, missional. Even in terms of our missional focus, there is diversity there. Some people think like, okay, mission, it is evangelism, it's going door to door, it's telling people about Jesus. For others, mission means serving the homeless a meal. This past Friday, just a couple nights ago, this space right here, there were 26 Latina ladies doing Zumba in here. This was part of one of our kind of events to get people into our church and to get to know them and for them to get to know our church. I was not there for that event, just to clarify. We need all those different passions, though, and those gifts in the body as we seek to live out our mission of sharing the good news of Jesus with the people of Willowbrook. There's going to be times when our diversity as a body, it starts to feel like it's pulling us in different directions. And so Paul reminds us, verse 13, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." Now, Paul is using some of the most divisive categories in society at his time to remind the church in Corinth that they've been baptized into one Spirit, that what unites them is stronger than what could divide them. And that same Spirit is what is refreshing them and maintaining their unity daily as they drink of that same Spirit. Now, our social categories, our divisions here in Canada are not nearly as strong, I think, as in Roman society. But even to us here at Willowbrook, Paul might say, Canadians or Americans, rich or poor, Latinos or Asians, we were all baptized into one body by one Spirit so as to form one body, and we all drink of the same Spirit. Being one body means that what impacts me or what impacts you impacts all of us, right? Think about your physical body. When you have a really bad toothache or maybe you've twisted your ankle, it's not just that part of the body that hurts or because you're actually totally impacted by it, your concentration or your mobility or different things like that. So Paul writes in verse 26 of the chapter, "If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." I think it's true of our local body, the church right here. I know there are those here in our community, in our church, who are battling cancer, suffering from depression, or grieving. And we want to stand with them in solidarity and in prayer. Their pain is ours too. I think this is true of the global body of Christ too, right? We have this unique expression of the body here, but we're actually part of a global body of Christians around the world. And there are Christians who are suffering because of their faith, who are persecuted, imprisoned in places like China and Iran and North Korea. So how can we be in solidarity with them, praying for them? How can we use our material resources, the things that we've been given, to be a blessing to the wider body? Right now, this reality is really impacting me and my family. I have my brother and his wife are missionaries in West Africa. And they've been there for a number of years. And just 2 weeks ago, one of their colleagues there was kidnapped by Islamic jihadists. And so all of a sudden, I'm thinking about them. I'm thinking about their missionary colleagues. And I'm thinking about this man who I don't know, but I'm connected to him. And I'm praying for him. And there's many others praying as well. And so I would encourage you as well, if you can be, just be praying for this missionary who's been kidnapped in West Africa. It's one of the ways that we express our solidarity with Christians around the world. We're part of the body of Christ around the world, this incredibly diverse body, but one body. Now, this analogy is located in a whole bigger section, chapters 12 to 14, on the gifts of the Spirit. So we're going to talk briefly about spiritual gifts. Now, I will definitely not be able to cover all the questions that you might have about spiritual gifts. If you are really interested in this topic and kind of what our church believes or teaches about this, we did a sermon series 4 years ago called The Gift of the Spirit. You can find that on our website, and you can listen to, I think it's like 12 or 13 sermons on the gift of the Spirit. As we start to talk about this idea of gifts, I just want to remind you again, every member, every part of the body is valuable and important, has a role to play. Every spiritual gift is important and has a place in building up the body, the church. This is how Paul frames this section in verses 4-6. He says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Are you catching the theme here? Diversity in unity. Different gifts, but the same Spirit who is the gift giver. Different kinds of service, but it's the same Lord whom we're serving. Different kinds of working, but the same God who is at work in us and through us. Paul wants to be very clear here. The diversity of gifts that we experience in the church is not about placing more value on one or the other or ranking them or competing to see how many you have compared to someone else, right? They come from the same Spirit, and we say serve the same Lord, and it's the same God at work in all of us. They're given for the building up of the church, for the common good, Paul goes on to say in verse 7. And some of you probably know that Paul actually lists the gifts of the Spirit in three different places, or actually a number of different places in his letters. In 1 Corinthians 12, twice, in Romans 12, and in Ephesians 4. There's significant overlap, but there's also some differences between them. And the word that we see as spiritual gifts is a translation of a variety of Greek words that can mean different things. So I'm just going to go through these real quick. You don't have to remember them, but just to give you a sense of the diversity of things that we're talking about. Charismata, that's gifts or graces. Pneumatikos, those are spiritual things. Diakonia, service or ministry. Energemata, effects or workings. Doma, role or office. And phanerosis, those would be manifestations of the Spirit. So lots of different understandings of that, that these gifts that come from the Spirit. Sometimes I think when we hear spiritual gifts, we tend to think of them as supernatural, sort of as out of our ordinary experience. And some of them might be, but I'm not sure that it's always helpful. Some of them, like miracles or maybe speaking in tongues, may feel like they are out of our ordinary experience. But I think it's important to realize that doesn't make them any more spiritual or better than the other gifts that are listed. Together, they're all the gifts of God, of His Spirit, for all believers, for the building up of the body. So let's look just briefly at that list at the end of the chapter in 1 Corinthians again. Paul writes, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues." So Paul includes eight different gifts, eight ways of serving the body. Some of them, I think, seem clear enough, right? Others may be less obvious. For example, guidance, the second last one there, in the NIV is guidance, but otherwise it's translated as administration, if you look at other versions. The original word in Greek is kubernesis. That's another fun Greek word. It literally refers to a pilot in a boat who would steer a big ship to safe harbor through the rocks and the shallows of the harbor because he knew the path to get to the safe harbor. Now, for those of you who work in administration, I hope this makes you appreciate your gift and your role even more. You are piloting an organization or a ministry through the rocks, through the shallows to safe harbor. If you combine all the different lists that Paul gives on spiritual gifts, there's actually 20 different gifts he mentions. And it's interesting because some very important things that we might think of as gifts like prayer or worship are not actually on them. There's a lot of variety, a lot of diversity in the gifts God gives to the body. Some of you might be wondering, okay, so what are the gifts that I have? That's often a question, and there's no kind of one easy answer to kind of figure that out, but kind of a different number of ways that you can start to think about your gifts if you've never thought about them before. Your natural talents, I would say, are a gift from God. The things that you're passionate about, the things that you use to build up His kingdom, are a gift from God. And some gifts may be given just for a specific season or even a specific instance, right? Sometimes people have miraculously healed someone But that was a one-time thing for that moment to heal that person because they needed that. It's not that they always have that gift. And sometimes you actually discover the gift that you have or the gifts that you have by stepping into an area to serve. You see an opportunity and you feel like, yes, I think I'm going to step into that. And you discover, wow, I'm actually really good at this. And I really enjoy this. And this is life-giving to me. And I think that's a sign that the Spirit is at work in you. My dad was an ophthalmologist, an eye surgeon. And after he retired from regular work, he wanted to continue to use his gift of healing and his skills to bless other people. And so he and my mom would go on these medical mission trips to different parts of the world. Some of the places that they got to go to were Colombia and Peru and Bolivia and South America. They went to some countries in Africa as well. Now, my dad's role on these trips, right, was pretty clear and obvious. He's like, he's the eye doctor. He's going to do eye surgeries. But there's actually a whole team of people that made up this medical mission trip. There were, of course, OR nurses, but they would work with local volunteers as well, evangelists who would share the good news of Jesus with people, and translators if you're in a country where you don't speak the language, and lots of just general helpers setting things up and cleaning. Each one of those people is important for the work of that mission trip to happen. My mom would go on these trips, and she's not a doctor, but she would use her gifts of mercy and compassion to connect with people. She would always come back with these stories of having met with a translator or one of the local volunteers or one of the patients and praying for them. My mom's also really good at languages, and so she would end up like translating for people just because she could figure things out pretty well. Everyone had a part to play on these trips, and using the gifts of the one Spirit, they were able to serve the people where they were going and make these trips a success. Willowbrook, each one of you has been given gifts by the Spirit to serve his body here. Maybe it's a gift that we've just read from 1 Corinthians. Maybe it's a different talent or a passion that God has given you for the sake of the body. Each one of you is important and valuable here. Each one of you. Each one of you has a part to play, whether it's in serving your gifts or simply your presence here. Without our setup team, we would not be sitting in comfortable chairs right now. They have the gift of helping. Without our tech team serving behind the scenes, we wouldn't have sound or slides or lights. I want to give them a quick shout out, and usually the tech guys don't like this because they're like, we serve in the background because we don't like to be in front. But I want to shout out to Jonah, who's here today, but also Eben. I don't see him here today, but Eben served on our media team 7 weeks in a row. The first 7 weeks of our campus, Eben was here running media. So thankful for him. Matt and Gabe, brand new on sound. They just were like, hey, we want to serve in sound. Can you teach us? Yes. And they're doing sound. And of course, Matt and Ed, who've done sound here before. Others who are learning media, Ray and Rahman. Thank you guys for serving in the back there. Our worship teams up front here, they use their musical gifts to lead us in worship. And they're practicing during the week, both as a team and on their own, so that they sound good and so that they can lead us in excellence here. Our kids and our youth ministry leaders, that was a perfect cue. You heard them up there. Our kids and our youth ministry volunteers, right? They're using their gifts of teaching to disciple the younger generation as they teach the Bible. When Lillian and I were coming to Willowbrook here, one of the things that we were a little bit nervous about is like, how are our kids going to fit in? They really love their teachers at Walnut Grove in the kids' services there. And it was like literally after the first week, they're like, oh, we love it here. We love our teachers. We love the stories. It's great. And so we're just so thankful for the amazing volunteers who are serving in kids' ministry here. Our welcome team, our coffee team, right? They're using their gifts of hospitality and their friendly smiles to make you feel welcome here. Others of you here may not be serving on a specific team, but your presence being here is a gift to the body. It would not be the same without you. You're part of this body. I like how Ajit Fernando puts it. He was a longtime director of Youth for Christ in Sri Lanka, the author of lots of books on mission and apprenticeship. He writes, the body of Christ is incomplete without us, and we are incomplete without the body of Christ. Willowbrook, the body of Christ is incomplete without you. You have a part to play in building up the body right here in the church with your gifts, your story, your presence. and you are incomplete without the body. You need those around you. You need their gifts to serve you, to encourage you, to keep you accountable, to remind you of God's love and of his grace for you. Paul goes on from talking about the body and the gifts of the Spirit to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is this famous chapter on love. He says at the end of that chapter, I will show you a more excellent way. Love is the more excellent way, the greatest gift. Love is the thing that holds us all together in our diversity. And without love for each other, we're nothing. I'd love to invite the worship team to come up again as we respond through song. Just respond in singing of the way in which God has brought each one of you here. And as we sing, just this reminder that whatever you're coming with, whatever your story is, whatever your brokenness, your joys this morning, we're one body and we want to hold that together. And just a reminder too that as you come to God, it's not about the things that you bring to serve him. Yes, you've been given gifts. Yes, God delights to have you use them for his glory in this body. But he just invites you to come, no matter who you are, no matter what you're coming from, to be loved by him, to be welcomed by him.